Radio Prague News.
The Transport Workers Union has announced a general strike to take place in June. The head of the National Democratic Party of Germany is said to come to the Czech Republic on Saturday to meet with representatives of the far-right Workers' Party for Social Justice, and the government has approved a proposal for a change in VAT on Wednesday. The Transport Workers Union is preparing a general strike that will affect motorway, railway, and urban public transportation to take place in June. Its president, Lubosz Pomajbik, announced the decision on Wednesday, stating that unless the government reaches an agreement with the trade union umbrella organization CMKOS regarding planned reforms in the country's pension, social and healthcare systems, the strike will be held as planned. He added that the exact time of the strike will be kept secret until the last minute. Prime Minister Peter Nečas said he deplored the union's decision and that he would not play into demands for further negotiations regarding the planned reforms. The head of the extremist National Democratic Party of Germany, Udo Voigt, has been invited to the Czech Republic by the Extremist Workers' Party for Social Justice. Its leader, Jiří Štěpánek, said on Wednesday that the visit of Mr. Voigt and his delegation, scheduled for Saturday, is meant to intensify collaboration between both parties. Mr. Voigt made headlines in 2007 when he publicly downplayed the extent of the Holocaust. A number of members of the German NPD have been charged with similar acts of hate speech. The Workers' Party for Social Justice is considered the successor of the far-right Workers' Party, which was banned in February of last year. The government on Wednesday approved a change to the system of value-added tax to take effect in 2013. Under the proposed legislation, the regular 20% VAT and the lower trade VAT of 10% will be replaced by a universal VAT of 17.5%, following a temporary increase of the lower VAT to 14% in 2012. According to the Ministry of Finance, pensioners and low-income households will be most affected by this change. However, both groups will benefit from a change in the pension and welfare law, respectively. The government coalition said this step will be instrumental in financing its large-scale pension reform. Prague police are investigating a recent string of violent attacks in the city's metro system. A police spokeswoman said on Wednesday that Prague police have received a great number of calls from witnesses, which will hopefully lead to the arrest of the perpetrators. According to surveillance camera material, a group of young males is behind the violent attacks. On two separate occasions in late April and early May, the youngsters brutally and without prior provocation beat up victims traveling on their own. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. Nice weather with partly cloudy skies is set to continue until the end of this week, with daytime highs of around 25 degrees Celsius. My name is Sarah Barufka, and this brings us to the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's show, Google will resume mapping Czech cities for Street View after reaching agreement with a Czech privacy watchdog. Top division Slavia Prague gets a new lease on life. In Spotlight, we'll take you to Průhonice Chateau, just outside the Czech capital, and we'll end as usual with a Czech lesson. All that coming away, so do please stay with us. Google will continue expanding its Street View application in the Czech Republic after agreeing to meet several conditions required by the country's data privacy watchdog. These include lowering the height of Street View cameras as well as a promise to swiftly deal with privacy complaints from the public. The U.S. internet company, which has already made most of Prague and several other Czech cities available in Street View, said they would resume the project in the coming months. Jan Richter reports.
In 2009, the Czech Republic became the 8th European country where Google Street View became available. The initial coverage included Prague, along with 7 smaller towns in central Bohemia, as well as the country's major D1 motorway. The feature allows people to browse through panoramic photographs taken at street level. But last September, the country's Office for Personal Data Protection effectively banned Google from expanding the service when it rejected its request to register as an entity allowed to collect private and personal data. The Czech privacy watchdog said Google's cameras took pictures that exposed more details than are normally visible from the street. The authorities also complained that the car-mounted cameras, positioned at 2.7 meters above ground, were too high, which made it possible to look behind fences and into private homes. But the privacy watchdog and Google agreed that they would address these concerns, and on Wednesday, their consultations came to fruition when Google was granted its license after it agreed to several conditions. Google will lower the 2.7-meter-high cameras by at least 30 centimeters. Their special cars will avoid certain areas, such as schools, at times when pupils gather in front of them and will come back later. The company also promised to inform local authorities that mapping will take place in their districts and to deal with any complaints within 48 hours. These concessions satisfy the Data Protection Agency, but IT expert Karel Wolf says that in practical terms the deal does not mean much.
I don't think this is a major change. Although Google agreed to lower the height of the cameras in order to be allowed to continue imaging for Street View, they in fact argued that this will bring the cameras closer to the pedestrian level, which could make people's faces easier to recognize. And this, of course, is something many people might object to.
The internet firm also complied with several administrative requirements, establishing a responsible entity for the EU territory, and put up a website with information on the project in the Czech language. Google Street View faces similar problems in a number of countries, including Switzerland. The company recently threatened to shut down the service completely in that country if they are made to provide absolute guarantees of anonymity for those photographed. However, complaints that cameras on Google's cars are too high are quite unusual, according to Karel Wolf.
It's interesting that besides the Czech Republic, the only other country that complained about the height of the cameras was Japan. There it of course makes sense because Japanese people are generally shorter and their buildings are smaller. So the cameras really looked into people's privacy much more.
The Czech branch of Google declined comment on the deal. In a statement, the company said they welcomed the decision and would resume mapping Czech towns and cities for Street View in the summer months.
Jan Richter with that story. Now, the Czech Football Association has given Slavia Prague a new lease on life, issuing the club a license on Tuesday to play in the top flight next year. The club, with more than a 100-year history, was in danger of being relegated to the lowly third division over unpaid debts and a lack of ownership transparency. Now the most outstanding questions have been answered and the club will be back next season. Jan Wellinger reports.
In 2009, Slavia Prague won their most recent league title and were arguably on top of the world. But for many months now, the team, struggling both on and off the pitch, was in danger of plummeting to the lowly third division, the end for a professional team. Unpaid debts and unpaid players' wages going back to last December were largely part of the problem, as was uncertainty over the club's ownership. Not long ago, the head of the Czech Football Association, Ivan Hašek, himself said he didn't know who the owner was, and he was far from alone in being in the dark. Now, those questions have been answered, and they were enough to satisfy the Czech FA. Following negotiations, it was revealed that the Czech investment company Natland had bought a 51% stake in the club and would cover Slavia's outstanding debts. On Tuesday, Natland spokesman Ruskislav Study confirmed the deal, saying the firm had bought the stake from Antonín Franc, a mysterious figure who is widely considered to be the frontman for a controversial business clan. Other notable shareholders include former Transport Minister Aleš Hřebíček and the British company Enic, the owners of Tottenham Hotspur. Following crunch time on Tuesday, the association confirmed that Slavia had met all the necessary requirements. Now the club should be able to focus more again on what's happening on the pitch rather than off. Stanislav Hrabě covers football for the Czech Daily Sport.
Tak oddechnout si určitě může, zase může i nadechnout a znova uvažovat o průnik mezi...
The team can definitely take a breather and can slowly begin focusing again on getting back to top football and into European competition. But it really was a close call and the team was threatened by the worst. It could have gone under and then continued only in the lower divisions. It could also have lost its professional status and would have had to start again as an amateur club. The situation truly was serious.
Slavia may be one of the most storied clubs in Czech football history, but not the only one in the Czech league to have found itself in financial difficulty. Czech TV on Tuesday reported that second division club Viktoria Žižkov, fighting for a chance to advance to the top league, has not paid its players since January, with players being forced to sign forms, confirming the club owed them nothing. On the other hand, the team spokesman confirmed the club was paying off what it owed, surely, but slowly.
Jan Wellinger, a reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now it's time to go places, and in this edition of Spotlight, Jan Wellinger takes you to a popular destination just outside Prague.
The park's long history is tied to Pruhonice's castle, the earliest foundations of which date back to the 12th century. Throughout history, it was redesigned from the Gothic to a Renaissance palace, then recast in the Empire style, and finally in the Neo-Renaissance. Set on a promontory, the castle overlooks a sloping path leading into the park and forms a dominant portion of the skyline. In your mind's eye, you can almost imagine lords and ladies in their nicest Sunday finery promenading along the castle balustrade. Of the castle's owners over the years, the most important was arguably the Portuguese Count Ernst Emanuel Silva Tarroca, who married into the Nostitz Rinnick family in 1885. Silva Tarroca was an amateur botanist most passionate about landscape design, and it was he who most greatly influenced the layout of Pruhonice Park. Under his supervision, it became a veritable oasis with rare trees, flowers, plants, and alpine cliffs, all set in a painterly tableau. Ivan Stanya of the Pruhonice Park Authority explains.
Tak jak bývalo u všech hradů a zámků, hlavně zámků, zvykem byla zde jistě nějaká ovocná.
The history of Pruhonice Park is similar to that of most castle grounds. Before the 19th century, it most certainly would have contained an orchard, as well as a beautiful garden to show to guests. But at that time, that would have meant just the grounds closest to the castle itself. It was when it was bought by Jan Nepomuk-Nosic Rinek that the first steps towards enlarging the park were considered, and only under Count Silva Tarroca that it became a reality. He threw all his energy into creating what is today a 250-hectare park, with 40 kilometers of paths.
Ivan Stanya points out that Silva Tarroca received advice from expert dendrologists, that is, specialists in trees and plants, already very much impressed with his work. And that's not all. Painters and the art world also had a strong influence on Tarroca's way of seeing.
Silva Tarroca had very refined sensibilities. He and his family were friends with musicians, artists, and above all, painters. The Count was friends, for example, with Josef Manes, who taught him to paint, one of the people who influenced his eye in designing Pruhonice Park.
Taking care of such grounds is no easy task. Underlying principles include maintaining compositional elements designed by its most dedicated owner. As such, the park contains a series of winding paths, wooden bridges, chiseled rock gardens, and trees so tall at times the sunlight filters through like powder. But what is it really like? I went and had a look around. I began by opening a steel gate and then was on my way.
I've come to a point along the path here where in the tall grass right on the bank of the pond, there are no less than 20 ducks sunning themselves and preening their feathers and paying me not even the slightest bit of attention. A large, large pond around which there are trees of all different kinds, dominant evergreens, and beyond that, the castle itself. Hello, do you speak English or Czech?
Yes, English.
I'm just doing a report about this park. I wondered if I could ask you your impressions.
Well, we've only just started walking, so we're not really sure, but it's a beautiful view from here. And the flowers look gorgeous.
Beautiful. Fantastic.
I've walked from the back, mainly, and I've been here once or twice.
I like going where there's not too many people, so yes, it's great.
Visiting on a weekday like this one is recommended. The park was truly pristine. But the sheer size of it left me marveling at the effort it must take to keep it balanced between the cultivated and the slightly wild. What's even more remarkable is how few full-timers are actually employed to care for the grounds. Ivan Stanya suggests, in that respect, things couldn't be much worse, although he's clearly proud of his small but dedicated team.
We want to be able to keep maintaining the park at the highest possible standard, not just let it become a recreational area south of Prague. But there are only 15 to 20 full-time employees here, which is far less than in the 1960s when there were 100, which is closer to the number of people we could use. Funds, though, are limited, so there's not much we can do. As usual, this kind of work is a labor of love. If our people didn't love what they did, they would have left long ago.
Another problem is that many visitors fail to respect park rules, cutting across meadows where visitors are not meant to tread. Worse, spinning mountain bikes on trails and bends that break the ground, dig up roots, and destroy rare plants. Those are definitely not welcome. The number of visitors yearly is around 100,000, and that is bound to have an impact. And that's not all. Growing satellite cities outside of Prague are also having an effect. Eventually, Pruhonice will become a literal oasis among new towns. As wild animals are gradually hemmed in, they too move into the park, which doesn't necessarily have a positive effect. However,
Pruhonice is a classic hunting ground, and gamekeepers are required to keep the numbers down, especially of deer, which have a negative impact eating rare young plants in the spring.
Under the circumstances, the park's keepers do an admirable job. Whatever the future may bring, Pruhonice still looks gorgeous now. What else should you look out for? Quite literally, hundreds of different flowers, trees, and plants that include
an amazing collection of rhododendrons, some 8,000 separate plants, and different kinds of azaleas, irises, peonies, water lilies, and much, much more. All kinds of trees of rare wood are also on view, as well as evergreens. You'll want to take the better part of a day to see it all, if you really want to get to know this park. There is even a Chinese redwood metasequoia, along one of the main routes, introduced in 1949.
One downside is that visitors don't get to see the inside of the castle, housing offices for the Academy of Sciences Botanical Institute. It is unfortunately off-limits. But there are still plenty of other things to see. In the spring and autumn, the park regularly holds concerts of both classical music and other forms to attract music lovers. Pruhonice regularly ranks among the top visiting sites for both those from abroad and famous Czechs, actors, actresses, and even presidents.
Neither former president Václav Havel nor Václav Klaus are strangers to Pruhonice. Both visit fairly regularly throughout the year. At different times, both stop by for short walks to gather their thoughts and to meet with others. Some, like Mr. Klaus's son, even had his wedding there, which is also a possibility we offer visitors. You can have a ceremony under the open sky. one of the areas of financial activity where we receive funds that go back into the park.
If you're new to Prague but want to take a day to get out of the city with a friend or a loved one, you'll do well to consider Pruhonice. In the spring, it's especially recommended, Ivan Stanga says, when its famous rhododendrons are in bloom. But he's quick to add you can visit the lush park all year long.
That edition of Spotlight with Jan Wellinger was first aired in June of 2005. And now it's time to offer you a Czech lesson. Due to its enormous popularity, Radio Prague is currently rerunning its sound check series, and this part is with Pavla Horáková. You are listening to Soundcheck, Radio Prague's program in which you can learn Czech phrases through song lyrics. Today we'll be listening to a song from the 1960s called Ach ta láska nebeská, in English Heavenly Love or Love Made in Heaven, sung by the legendary Czech singers Valdemar Matuška and Eva Pilarová. The title of the song is also today's featured phrase.
Ta láska nebeská.
This romantic duet is all about love, about how there is no happiness without love and how love's tender caress will turn life into happiness. Láska, as you will have guessed, means love. The adjective nebeská means heavenly, from the word nebe, meaning heaven or sky. Nebeská is the feminine form of the adjective, the masculine form being nebeský. Láska nebeská is a love made in heaven. The phrase láska nebeská is used in Czech to describe a really strong romantic relationship between a man and a woman. Another phrase, which we heard on this program earlier, is láska jako trám, love as large as a wooden beam, however unromantic that expression may sound. Nešťastná láska is unhappy or unrequited love, which is just the opposite of láska nebeská. There is another Czech saying about love. Láska nehněvaná není milovaná. Loosely translated, love without quarreling is no genuine love. And that's all for today's lesson, which can also be found on Radio Prague's website, radio.cz. Naschledanou. Pavla Horáková with that Czech lesson. And if you'd like to go over it slowly, you'll find it at radio.cz, together with all our programs in text and sound. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.